First Baptist Church of Redmond, November 20th, 2011. God and Good Words.
Please rise. Our reading is from Colossians 4, verse 8. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. You be seated.
Thank you very much. We're spending some time in this concluding section of Colossians because there's a lot of themes that are introduced here, and they're worth noticing, they're worth catching. You're going to have one more set of messages, actually one more message, excuse me, from this passage of Scripture next Sunday, and then we will be finished. We will finish Colossians chapter 4 next Sunday. Today I'm going to be looking at this passage of Scripture and be looking at the theme, God and good words. What is it that we say? What is it that we do? How is it that we demonstrate the need, the idea that we have invested in God, and how should we relate to one another? As we close off our book, as I said, this is the penultimate, second to last, the penultimate message in the book of Colossians. Remember, Colossians' emphasis has been the church's Savior, talking about Christ, picturing Christ as the preeminent force in the universe. The little flyer I made that had the text of the book and some comments, the supremacy of Jesus, the letter to the Colossian church. Since we have such a supreme commander, if you will, we, the followers of Christ, we're required to seek a heaven-characterized lifestyle. Seek those things which are above, Colossians 3 tells us, in verses 12 through 15. Really, verse 12 primarily, but that small section in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, characterize what a lifestyle of people who are going to heaven should be like. And it makes it clear that it is within our ability to put on this kind of lifestyle. It may be difficult to overcome some of these things, but remember, when we look at Scripture, when we look at what God tells us He expects from His followers, these are things that are not primarily works of the flesh. But if you trust Jesus as your Savior, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 tell us that as a down payment, as a proof that we will one day be redeemed and go with Jesus Christ to heaven, He gives us the down payment, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who does not leave you. Once you have trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and has an indwelling presence in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, that helps you respond to the things that God has said. Still small voice, however you want to describe it, where you look at Scripture, the Holy Spirit tends to use Scripture. The Holy Spirit tends to guide and direct. The problem that we as individuals have, that was pointed out in the book of Romans, verses 12, chapters 12 through 14, is so often we learn to ignore the Holy Spirit. So He is difficult to hear and understand. What is He trying to tell us? Romans chapter 8 speaks about those that are led by the Spirit. John chapter 3 says those that are led by the Spirit are led as He directs. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do things that are supernatural. The ability to put on the things that Colossians 3 has spoken about. The ability to put off our tendency to immoral activities, our tendency to be people who will have anger, who don't relate or react very well to one another. These are all things that come, the ability to overcome those and to be people who are able to put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness and patience, overlooking faults. Those are things that are supernatural. We know that because the natural response is to do all those kinds of things. But it's a supernatural ability that Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit himself, is writing and telling us that you can do this with the help of Jesus Christ. Colossians focuses on Jesus, telling us this new lifestyle we're called by Christ to live should change our basic relationships. He looked and says that because we know Christ, we should relate differently with other believers. We looked at that. We've been talking about that just now. At home or work, chapter 3, verse 18 to chapter 4, 1, spoke about relationships that should be changed because of how we know Jesus. And that the power of words, spoken words, prayer words, thanks, praise words, can make an impact in the lives of your Christian friends and even other people. And that these truths that we're speaking about worked in the lives of Paul and his friends. So you're looking at today and then the next time. Well, that bear reminds us of a story of why we need each other. Two friends were out hunting, and as they were walking through the woods, one of them yelled to the other, and they looked and they saw a large grizzly bear charging at them. The first friend started to frantically put on his tennis shoes. When his buddy saw this, he said, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear? He's coming for both of us." To which the first guy responded, "I don't have to outrun him. I just have to run faster than you." Well, friendship is a two-way street. Here's a poor guy that could have used a friend. Remember years ago, baseball playoffs, there's a foul ball. Those poor Chicago Cubs were leading in a baseball game. And this fan, Steve Bartman, reaches out and, hey, he must get a foul ball. But when the Cubs lost the game, he became such an object of derision that as the game was concluding before the final out, security came, took him to a room, changed clothes, gave him fresh clothes, put him in a van. Believe it or not, Steve Bartman actually went with two friends who sat next to him. Because of the discomfort pointed at him, his two friends got up and left. Steve Bartman had to get a ride home from security because the friends he came with to the ball game left without him. Ouch. Remember that Paul is in a Roman prison when he writes this book, prison epistles. Now, he had some measure of freedom as he existed under house arrest. This is around 60 to 61 AD. We call this Paul's first imprisonment. Tends to have been a second one, it seems, as well. This is also a time where, again, we're guessing at this one. But it seems because of Paul's words, Paul's remarks, Paul's comments in relationship with Onesimus, that perhaps Paul, for the first time in his adult life, had some access to funds that would have helped his time under house arrest have been more effective, perhaps even enabling some of his freedom under house arrest. While Paul is there, Onesimus, and the Bible isn't clear, this was last Sunday's message, Bible isn't clear, but somehow Onesimus, the household slave, purchased slave owner, owned by Philemon, shows up. I agree with Paul, people who say that Paul was in Rome, arrested in Rome. Somehow Onesimus shows up. Perhaps he's on the run, not sure, not charged seemingly with a crime, but stays with Paul a little bit too long. But while he's there, Paul talks to him about Christ. Paul takes the circumstance he finds himself in and knows that even though this man is familiar with the Christians in Colossae, the person who he is with attends that group and even opens his home for the group to have meetings on occasion, but this man has not trusted Christ as Savior, Onesimus the servant. Paul leads him to Christ. Onesimus' character changes, as it should, because of that indwelling Holy Spirit we've talked about. Onesimus becomes valuable to Paul because friends were necessary for work and survival. Not just for him, but also for us. Next Sunday, I'm going to highlight some of these because sometimes we feel very inadequate. Wherever you are, quarterback, president, somebody who cleans the bathroom, somebody who takes change, somebody who opens the door and says, welcome. All of us have feelings where we think, I wish I did better. I wish people knew how much I did. If folks only knew how much it cost me or took me to do this, we need friends. When you choose friends, next Sunday we'll look at these and more, because there's at least one negative example. Paul, as he closes this book, speaks about different individuals had an impact in his life. People that served, people that went out of the way to humble themselves, people that endured even through difficult moments, ones who seemed to have the characteristic of bringing comfort and rest, folks that prayed for him, folks that helped keep accountability going, and friends that did not forget. We all need someone to help make a difference in life, and sometimes we neglect to see just how important that is. I told a similar story to this. I'm mentioning this because if you'll think back, there was something similar I told, but this is a different occasion. If you were to go near the city of Japan, you would see that there is an area, the Tojimbo Cliffs. Am I saying that right? I don't know. The point is that this is a ocean region, goes to Japan, one of the few places in Japan where not very many people live. In Time Magazine 2009, there was an article that noted that one in five Japanese men and women have seriously considered taking their own lives. And each year, let me just correct this clearly, each year over the past decade, more than 30,000 people have killed themselves in Japan. There's a lot of reasons why people feel isolated, friendless, embarrassed. But there is a man, a retired detective, whose name is Yukio Shige, who since he retired in 2004, he has, because of his work in police activity, knowing the kinds of things, because he, if you're a police officer doing detective work on serious crimes, you see many things you wish you could prevent. Since his retirement in 2004, Yukio Shige has roamed the Tojimbo Cliffs, because this is their Golden Gate Bridge. This is a popular site for suicide attempts along the east coast, the Sea of Japan. When he notices people who are standing by themselves, looking out on the ocean, staring, he believes that they are considering perhaps jumping. When he sees someone, he will slowly approach them to not make them nervous. He'll say hello, and then he says he does his best to engage them in some point of conversation. Somewhere then along the line, he'll reach up and just touch them on the shoulder. And he says so often, after a brief conversation and a human touch, this person standing by themselves will burst into tears. And then he generally says something like, you've had a hard time up until now, haven't you? 188 Japanese men and women have then gone back and followed him back to an office that on his retired pension he goes ahead and rents on his own, $800 a month, where he does free private counseling sessions. What are his counseling sessions? He offers them up apparently a traditional Japanese dish of sticky rice with grated relish. To me, that doesn't sound like much, but apparently that is something that most families in Japan served up as an at-home meal. So traditionally, the food is designed to celebrate the new year, but when people come to his rented office, sit down, and have that, they think of their childhood. They remember they're not alone. He points out that the ringtone for his cell phone is set to Amazing Grace. I tried very hard in these articles to read if he was a Christian. No one made these comments, but you know, I'm hopeful. It says he sums up his mission this way. I went to Tojimbo to be the most challenging place, not where life ends, but where it begins. Friends often take responsibility. Friends often take accountability. The graphic on the side, accountability, the 14-letter Christian curse word. Sometimes you need a friend. Sometimes you need someone to remind you of the things that you need to be doing. In the relationships mentioned at the end of Colossians, we will see next time that Paul's friendship for someone else or someone else's relationship to Paul. Stress, staying fervent in your core values as you go throughout your day. Keeping contact with one another. Sharing what others have experienced so that all can benefit. It's good to give praise and testimony so people will see that God still acts. Sometimes people need to challenge each other to do what they should. And then people need to keep close to each other by choosing to keep contact. As I say this, as you look at your Christmas list, who are these people? I don't know, but we get a card from them the last 20 years. We need to send them one back. And sharing your heart with them. For us, see, that boy is clothed in kindness. You see, it might be a struggle for him to be kind from the look on his face, but at least he's clothed in kindness. For us, this closing passage reminds us to try not to operate alone. That making a difference requires working with people. Friendship seems to be a part, is a part, of our discipleship. Share life's experiences to find more from life today. Build relationships with people who are different from you. For me, that would be everybody. And the most gifted are not always the most helpful. Last story. Last pictures. If I present to you this picture, some of you who have been to Washington, D.C. might recognize it. This is a statue of General Ulysses S. Grant. It stands on one end of the reflecting pool, almost immediately next to the shadow of the U.S. Capitol building. People who visit Washington, D.C., we were there, and I don't remember this. I was trying to see if I remembered. Can hardly miss this depiction of the general atop his war horse. Grant's military leadership was decisive to the Union's victory in the Civil War, and he's considered a symbol of the force of human will, an icon of the strong man who stands against the storm when all others have shrunk back. However, currently, and I'll explain that in a minute, currently 2.5 miles away in a smaller city park stands a different memorial. This is a statue to a lesser-known Civil War figure, Major General John Rawlins. His name is prominently mentioned on the bottom, so you won't forget who he is, Rawlins. This statue has, since its original commissioning, been moved to over 8 different locations. It's the first to get moved when something new comes in and is hardly ever noticed or remembered by visitors. Rawlins had been a lawyer in Galena, Illinois, where Grant lived just before the war began. He was Grant's friend, and he was selected as General Grant's chief of staff. Rawlins respected yet knew Grant's character flaws, especially that Ulysses S. Grant was a drunk, an alcoholic. At the beginning of the war, Rawlins courageously spoke truth to power and extracted a pledge from U.S. Grant to abstain from drunkenness. And when the general threatened to fall away from that promise, his friend would plead with him and support him until Grant could get back on track. In many ways, it was Rawlins who stood beside the solitary figure of Grant, the great general. Rawlins' memorial is modest compared to the mounted glory afforded Grant. Yet without Rawlins' love and support, unheralded, Grant would hardly have managed even to climb into the saddle. So often there was someone in the background who helps us, encourages us, reminds us, stays on top of us, helps make sure that we do what we should. Because left alone to our own devices, who knows what we might do if we think no one is watching or if no one will care. But how good it is to have that friend. It's generally a parent, a spouse, some other sibling. Maybe it's just a friend who is with you and says, how you doing? Have you been reading your Bible? Did you go to church? Have you been getting along with your, you know, the problem you were having? Did you get it right this time? Did you remember? Did you call them? Were you there? Did you do what you knew you should have done? And so often that person is the hooks in your soul sent by God to help. Everybody's got someone like that, I hope. And that person, that friend, can be the reason why you're so blessed. I know I give most of my blessing as a result of other people showing interest, concern, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, or patience. Because left to our own devices, which one of us would stand? But God is patient with us, gives us so often another chance and somebody to talk to and encourage us to get up the next day and take another step. God, help us, we pray. Be a good influence on each other. God, as we look at the world, there's always somebody to tease, somebody to have fun, somebody to... But God, while we do those things, help us to cut through to what's most important. Help us, as your son was challenged, and listen to other people talk, how do we summarize all the words of the Word of God? And Jesus said, love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Help us, God, to purify our hearts, to love you better. And while we're doing that, help us to love each other and be a good influence on each other's lives. Help us, we pray, to be worthy in inclusion of a mention in our friends' lives because we do what somebody needed to do in a good way. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,